Good, Bob. Good.
Yes, sir.
Russell, for me.
Oh, sir, sir.
Richard Russell.
Yes, sir, beside him.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Are you at the office?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're working mighty late.
Well, damn it, you wake the hell out of us over here.
I don't work, and I haven't started you yet. I want you to get all that defense in one package, though, and give them a hearing and report it out the next morning. Let me read you a statement I'm thinking about making my press conference in the next few days. I want to take this opportunity to clear up all misunderstandings regarding our relations with Panama and our presence in the Panama Canal Zone. No purpose is served by rehashing either recent or ancient wrongs. Wait a minute, I better tell you. This thing's getting bad to worse, and now Cherry's going to lead all the diplomatic representatives from every Latin American country and all the cabinet and all the legislators and everything else into the zone. And we've about lost the peace commission, and they think we'd have a 19-1 vote in the OAS now and about that big a majority against us in the United Nations. So
we better get out of both of them, man.
There have been excesses and errors on the part of both Americans and Panamanians. Early this month, the foolish action of imprudent students from both countries played in the hands of agitators seeking to divide us. As a result, there was a needless and tragic loss of life on both sides. Our own forces were remarkably restrained in the face of sniper fire and mob attack. Their role was one of resisting aggression and not committing it. At all times, they remained inside the canal zone, and they took only those defensive actions required to maintain law and order to protect Americans and Panamanians in the canal itself. Our obligation to safeguard the canal against riots and vandals and sabotage and other interference rests on the precepts of international law, the requirements of international commerce, and the needs of free world security. These obligations cannot be abandoned now or at any future time. But we do not believe the security of the Panama Canal is necessarily inconsistent with the dignity of the Republic of Panama. On the contrary, both of those objectives can and should be assured by the actions and the agreement of Panama and the United States. This government has long recognized that the present situation contains inequities. In recent years, we've been reviewing these problems both within the administration and with the Panamanian government. The press of other events has made us admittedly slow in pursuing the improvements needed. Violence, on the other hand, is never justified, is never a basis for talks. Consequently, the first order of business this month has been the restoration of public order, and to this end, the United States welcomed the excellent efforts of the OAS Peace Commission. For the future, we have stated our willingness to engage without limitation or delay in a full and frank review and reconsideration of all issues between our countries. We have set no preconditions to resumption of peaceful discussion. We are bound by no preconceptions of what they will produce. We hope Panama can take the same approach. In the meantime, we expect neither country to either foster or yield to any kind of pressure with respect to such discussion. While this nation cannot administer aid to Panama without our aid administrators in Panama, we shall not engage in economic aggression or economic appeasement. And 30 days after relations are restored, we shall sit in conference with Panamanian officials to seek a series of agreements on all problems dividing our countries. Each government will be free to raise any issue, take any position. Our government will consider all practical solutions to practical problems that are offered in good faith and goodwill. It is not our intention to sanctify as immutable or to nullify as indefensible everything which was said or done the last two generations. No treaty concluded in an early era is so sacrosanct as to rule out all possible alteration. But all treaties concluded between honorable nations must be observed with respect for the law. These new discussions may or may not produce a revision of the existing treaties by which both our nations are bound, or a new treaty, or a new canal, or a new clarification, or a new codification. Certainly there can be adjustments, as there have been in the past. Certainly solutions can be found which are compatible with the dignity and the security of both countries, as well as the needs of world commerce. And certainly Panama and the United States can remain, as they should remain, good friends and good neighbors.
Well, I guess that's all right if you feel like you've got to issue a statement.
Well, I think we've got to get back to...
Come in there and march across the zone. we haven't been prohibited.
I'm not going to issue
across the Panama Canal zone.
No, we're not.
I mean, they come and walk across.
Us?
Go swimming in the locks if he wants to.
Yeah, but our people know we don't. We don't want them. They think they can put that canal out of commission 6 months mighty easy, and we got to be awfully careful about security, and they're not going to let any mobs come in there, and they're not going to let the Castro set up a new government, although every night they think he's going to. And we're trying to get the thing back.
I wish the hell if Castro seize it, then maybe, damn it, those people in the State Department and these weeping sob sisters all over the country would let us go in there and protect our rights. I wish old Castro would seize it.
Well, now, this is pretty, don't you think it's a pretty good statement? This is not State Department. This is not State Department at all. It's right out of my office here with Jack Valenti and Ted Zerns.
You felt like you had the issue in the State Department.
Well, I think I have to try to do all I can to bring about an adjustment of some kind. Now,
there are people that are hurting. We ain't hurting. We're not hurting anywhere.
Yeah, but we are hurting, Dick. We're hurting in the hemisphere and we're hurting in the world. The goddamn propaganda is all against us, and it's just everywhere, and it just looks...
I read a piece in the Manchester Guardian and one in this London paper, and they both said that we ought to have learned by one mistake in Cuba not to make another now by surrendering here in Panama.
Well, we're not surrendering, but I think that there are a good many chicken things that we can do and should do, and Vance thinks so, and thinks that we should have done them. And, for instance, we think that we've got a very archaic board at Panama Canal. We think our governor's no good. He's an old ex-military fellow at the Board of Engineers that's not up to it. Nobody thinks he is. Vance, the General O'Meara.
We've been tying him off down there for a long time.
And we know our ambassador wasn't worth a damn. He was just sold out to the Panamanians 100%. And came back and denounced everybody, and that's why he got fired. Because he wanted to run for governor of West Virginia on a Republican ticket. But he said that he wanted to, he's 100% Panamanian. And he was just raising hell about what the Zonis were doing. Now, we've got a list of things, two pages long, that we can do and we ought to do, and that don't sacrifice anything. But there is some merit to their side, not in violence, not in shooting people. But what I think is, I don't think I can get by with a press conference without this question coming up. I just think it's as sure as see. I've got to see the Peace Commission in the morning. I've got to follow some kind of a discussion with them. And this has been pretty much my line.
Yes, you're not changing your position.
No.
I just thought I'd let him sweat for a while.
Well, I am. I'm letting him sweat.
Have you withdrawn the aid yet?
Yeah, we're not giving them a damn thing. And furthermore, just confidentially, I moved all of our dependents. I'm moving them out to South Carolina.
If you've done that, you'll hit the chair for long, and he'll be on his knees. I just wouldn't be too precipitate about it.
Well, I'm not. I'm going to wait till day after tomorrow. I'm going to wait another day or two. But
as long as you can, Mr. President. You've got all the cards, and this damn yapping over here about this OAS, it don't amount to a thing. They just because they feel like they've got to stick together whenever one...
Well, now, Dick,
you'd rather get down and really talk to them underneath the bed sheets. They say, well, I don't blame you a damn bit.
I came back here last night from the Canadian Embassy, and Rusk and the whole outfit met with me, and I stayed up till 2 o'clock. I was at the desk 1 o'clock, and I was the only man in the room said no. They didn't have Vance and McNamara, but I told every one of them.
Of course, Rusk belongs to the New York Times, Washington Post.
I said, I am not about not one goddamn bit, as long as I'm president, which is going to be for 11 months, gentlemen. I'm not about to get on my knees and go crawling to him and say, I want to apologize to you for you shooting my soldiers. By God, I ain't going to do it. And I wasn't raised in that school, and they hushed up and didn't say anything, so we busted up the meeting. We didn't do anything. But I'm getting ready to have a press conference, and I've got to be prepared, and I'm going to be prepared on everything if I can. And this is one of the things I'm going to be prepared on, and I just wanted to check it with you before
I... Well, if you've got to make a statement, that's about as good as you can make.
All right, okay. Now, you know anything else?
I was hoping you might defer it.
Well, I'm going to defer. I'm going to defer.
I think you've got all the cards. And there's a little flurry here in the States. Rusk in that crowd, I imagine Cousin Adelaide. I haven't seen him or heard from him, but I imagine Cousin Adelaide.
I haven't heard a word from him.
But the people of this country, just 1,000,000% back to your position.
Well, I don't know whether they know it or not, but I did get a poll in Pennsylvania today that shows...
I know it. And you asked any congressman something about his mail.
You know what, Pennsylvania, a fella running up there for Senate took the most reputable poll in Pennsylvania today, and you know it shows I get more Republicans than the Republicans get, and I beat Scranton 79 to 20. I beat Goldwater 82 to 17 in Pennsylvania.
You just go and do what's in this country's interest and tell Russ and these other fellas to jump in the lake, and it'll stay that way. The American people have been crying for somebody that had some of the elements of old Hickory Jackson in him. They thought they had him in Olag. But I had to be a captive of those people because he didn't know what else to do. You're not in that position. You know what else to do. You know this government. You know the world. Ike was limited in his experience and afraid of himself, so he was lean completely.
Well, everybody is. Everybody is when you got
I
this.
I know, but somebody down there just got to take the bull by the horns one of these days and play the part of old Andrew Jackson. So, well, gentlemen, this is it.
How much our stereo hurt us?
What stereo?
Our record player, Bobby Baker.
Oh, that ain't gonna hurt nothing.
Son of a bitch, and Williams got up today, and he didn't say a word about Ike taking the tractor and bull, but. Because I took a record player from an employee.
You got to quit letting that things like that get under your skin.
Oh, that old John Williams, though, he ought to be saying
that. Well, he's mean as hell.
I know, but he didn't say a word about Ike taking that tractor.
No.
Those bulls and things like that. And they were from
all
private people.
The oil fellas paying all the expenses of his farm.
And this is a private people. This private. I took mine from a public employee working for me, and I thought it was all right.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to hurt you. It ain't gonna hurt you. Of course, the fella wants to be against you. He's gonna find some reason for it, and they'll seize on that. It'll be a small percentage. My bet will beat you. They'll be forgotten about before the campaign's over. We'll have other issues that be so big that Lafayette will be in the background. Won't be mentioned by one out of five campaign speakers. My own opinion about it.
I'll see you tomorrow.